Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 27, then verse number 28, and then we'll pray. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Verse 27 will be our text. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you would take, Lord, this message and the soberness of it, and that you would convey something very strongly to us as you impress these truths upon our heart with the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray that we would be in attentiveness, Lord, to what you would say to us as we hear the preaching of the Bible. Again, we thank you for your presence here. We have the promise of your presence. You said, if two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. So we can know, based on the promise of the Bible, that you're here this morning. We would ask, please, dear God, that we would be aware of your presence, that we would invite your influence in our life. You would, Lord, speak freely to each and every heart, and that we would pay close heed, good attention to all that you would say to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I brought another book besides the Bible to the pulpit. I won't be preaching out of this book, of course, because we preach only out of one book, and that's the Word of God. But this book, I'm not sure how I would do without it. This is my day planner. This is my schedule book. This is my, some of you might call it an appointment book. And I start almost every single day as far as one of the first thing I do when I get to the office, not the first thing I do every day, but first thing I do when I get the office, is I take a look at my appointment book. I do not possess the mental capacities to remember everything that I ought to without writing them down. If it's not written down, there's a really good chance I'm not going to remember it. And so I have through the years, and I've used this same type of an appointment book for years and years and years, but I have a system that I use and a kind of a color highlight system that I use, and I can look at what I need to accomplish that day and the appointments I have on the day, and then I've got things that are coming up short term and things that are coming up long term that I need to be working on and towards. And so I have in this book many, many, many over the course of a year, probably literally over the course of a year, there's scores and scores and scores of appointments that are written down. And when I write an appointment down in this book, sometimes, and you'll go through my appointment book, sometimes beside it in or through it in bold letters, it's written canceled. Where I had an appointment, but something came up, either on my end or the other person's end, and we had to cancel that appointment. So I'll write canceled. Sometimes I circle it and move it over with an arrow to a different day. Some are canceled, some are moved, some are postponed. And so sometimes it just says canceled, and I don't have to have that appointment. Sometimes it's moved or postponed, and I'll circle it, move it to another day. Some appointments, and I try never to do this, but some of them were not moved and weren't canceled. But at the same time, despite even writing them down, because of my human frailties, I forget them. Please help me. I'm not alone here, am I? All right. I didn't mean to. Matter of fact, and I don't do that very often because of the fact that I do write things down. But if I don't, or if I do and then I forget, I have missed some appointments. I'm getting ready. Matter of fact, you know what I'm going to say next. But I'm getting ready tomorrow night and Tuesday night to go over to Victory Baptist Church and preach at Victory Baptist Church two nights of revival meetings. I'm shocked that Brother Gerald ever invited me back to preach at Victory Baptist Church. I was supposed to preach two Sunday nights in a row for him in August. I went the first Sunday night and preached, and I said, folks, we're going to preach a two-part message. The first one tonight, the next Sunday night. I preached half of it. Told him, be back. We'll preach the rest of this series and finish it up. And sure enough, the next Sunday night came, and they have services at 5 o'clock, so I can go over and preach at their service, get done, come back over here and preach at our service. And the next Sunday night came, and next Sunday came, and I preached here. and even mentioned here that I was going to be preaching there at 5 o'clock. Went home, ate my lunch, took a little nap, woke up, got my computer out, started going over my notes for the evening service. 5 o'clock, the phone rings. It's my daughter, Hannah, wanting to know where Dad is. I'll tell you where Dad was at 5 o'clock. He was at home sitting in his recliner, 35 minutes from where he was supposed to be. In the 35 years, I got called to preach when I was 17 years of age. Since 35 years since I've called into the gospel ministry was the first time I've ever had a scheduled preaching engagement and failed to show up to it. So I think Brother Gerald probably has a backup plan for tomorrow night and Tuesday night in case I don't show up. But I'm going to try to keep that appointment. There are some appointments that will never be canceled. There are some appointments that will not be moved. And there are some appointments that none of us will fail to keep. The Bible says in this, our text verse, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, there is a day appointed for each and every one of us, some appointment days that every single man will keep. Every single one of us will keep. I want to focus on that subject for this morning, and I want to talk to you about appointments that will be kept. I could call this message also this, living your life with one eye on the judgment seat. Living your life with one eye on the judgment seat. Most of you who have spent much time at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, especially under the ministry of my father, you recognize that as something that he would say often to the congregation. He challenged us to live our lives with one eye on the judgment seat. What does that mean? That means that we ought to remember, every single one of us, that there is an appointment that we will keep. And we ought to conduct ourselves every day of our lives in the light of that appointment, understanding that we have an appointment with God. The Bible says, as it is appointed unto man, men once to die. There are some appointments every man will keep. Number one, our appointment with death. Our appointment with death. Now, I'm going to give you a biblical exception to that in just a minute. But for the vast majority of the human race, it is appointed for us to die. The wages of sin is? Death. The wages of sin is death. Our days are numbered. I believe that it is appointed when I will die, and I believe it is appointed. I think if we've seen God's day planner, if we've seen God's schedule, his appointment book, on every single day, there's a certain number of people that are scheduled to end their life. I believe it was appointed from the day we were conceived in our mother's womb. I think a certain number of days were allotted. I think there's ways that we could try to explain this. The beating of the human heart averages about 60 to 90 beats per minute. You check your heartbeat, you'll find out probably you're in that range, 60 to 90 beats per minute. The average heartbeat happens in about a second or less, about once a second or a little more, a little less. Your heart beats. Your heart beats about 100,000 times in one day, about 35 million times in a year. During an average lifetime, the human heart will beat more than 2.5 billion times. Isn't that amazing? I believe that when you're born, God allots you a certain number of heartbeats. He allots you a certain number of heartbeats. Say, well, how many is that? I don't know. Aren't you kind of glad that you don't know? But I'll tell you this, when God says to the old heart, you beat your last, watch this, the doctors can do everything they want to do, but if God says it beat its last, then it beat its last, because it's appointed unto man once to die. God, when he created you, allowed you a certain number of heartbeats, already decided, done, predetermined. You and I will live until we reach the number of God-given heartbeats, and when that last heartbeat happens, guess what? We'll be thrust into eternity. You say, well, I know of a person whose heart stopped beating, and men got it to start again. Well, I guess that was within God's will, and you know what? God had that calculated. But I'll tell you this, when God says to the heart, that's the last beat, I don't care what man will do, that's the last time it'll beat. Now think about this, folks. If every single heart beat is about one per second, that means in one second time, we could be thrust into eternity. I've heard many different types of invitations given over the years. I remember an evangelist that stood behind the pulpit and said this. He asked At the conclusion of a gospel message in Blessed Oak Baptist Church, he asked for every head to be bowed and every eye to be closed. And he said this. He asked, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? If you're sure, raise your hand. Most of the people raised their hand. He said this. If you were to die today, do you know for sure? Or are you questioning that? Do you know for sure that you're not saved? Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not saved. If I were to die today, I wouldn't go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? Some folks raised their hand in the congregation with their heads bowed and their eyes closed just so the evangelist could see it. He said something like this. I'll never forget it. Thank you for your honesty. It is important that I tell you before God that if you are not saved, you sit in this church today one heartbeat away from hell. What an awesome statement. Was that evangelist accurate? Absolutely, he was accurate. If you're here today without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're literally one heartbeat, 1 second from an eternity in hell. I went to preach for Brother Parker about 2 years ago, a 3-on-3 basketball tournament that he decided to have. His youth pastor put it on. They had a 3-on-3 basketball tournament, really invited a lot of the public school kids, and they had a huge turnout on a Saturday morning, and they were going to have a 3-on-3 basketball tournament. And the first order of business was registration. After they registered everybody, they got them into the auditorium, and he said to me, called me and said, would you come preach a gospel message? There's going to be a lot of lost young men there. And I said, of course, I certainly will. And it worked out with my schedule where I could do it. And so I went there. And I thought, what do you say to a whole auditorium? I mean, literally, that his auditorium, if you're familiar, ever been in his church, was packed from front almost all the way to the back with young men there for the 3-on-3 basketball tournament, and vast majority of them unchurched, unsaved kids. And I said, so I was introduced, and I didn't want to take a long, long time. I took about 15 minutes and shared the gospel with them. But I started by saying this, you know, in a few minutes we're going to have basketball tournaments. And I don't know about you, but when I watch any sports event, I'm one of the guys that watches the clock. Okay? And by the way, games have been lost because somebody wasn't paying attention to the clock. Games have been lost because of clock mismanagement. And I said, I'm one of these guys, whether it's football, I'm looking to see whether or not they're going to get the playoff because they've got to get it hiked in a certain number of seconds. If you're watching the NBA, they've got 24 seconds. And I watch sometimes a guy doesn't pay attention to the clock and the buzzer sounds. And guess what? You lost the ball, lost your opportunity. And I told each one of those young men, I believe for every single one of us, the moment that we're conceived in our mother's womb, there is a clock that started in heaven. And it's not counting up, it's counting down. God knows exactly how long he's going to allow us to live. And just like you'd watch a clock click down a second at a time, a minute at a time, an hour at a time, a day at a time, I believe there's a clock with Jerry Ross's name on it, and it's been clicking down since the day that I was conceived in my mother's womb. It's been clicking off a second at a time. You say, preacher, how much time's left on the clock? I'm glad I don't know. That's one clock I don't want to watch, amen? Isn't it good that there's some things God just doesn't tell us? I know this. It could be today. Nobody's promised tomorrow. Nobody knows when that appointed time is. You say, preacher, you're not that old. Thank you. Thank you for all the amens. Thank you very much. As everyone bursts forward in encouragement there. You're not that old. You're in pretty decent health. I mean, come on. Yeah, and there's been a lot of people that weren't all that old and seemed to be in pretty decent health, and it was appointed unto man once to die. And then came the judgment. What I'm saying is I don't know what the clock is. My clock could be less than a day. My clock could be less than a week. You know what? 2014 might come on this earth, and I may no longer be here. But you know what? Every single one of us has an appointed meeting with death. You say, preacher, you said about one exception. Yeah, there's going to be a generation of Christians that cheat death. Where do you get that? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. And the word sleep there is kind of the word for Christians dying. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must be put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So, preacher, what is that talking about? It's talking about the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 describes it this way, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." So there's the living, there's the dead when Jesus comes back. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." How many of you agree with me? I am hoping that I'm part of that generation that's going to cheat death. Wouldn't that be a good way to go? Now, we have an appointment. By the way, I think that the clock's still ticking, and I think the heartbeats are all of that still accurate. I just think that the rapture of the church is going to interrupt all that for some of us, and boom, we're going to be out of here, and that's going to be our appointed time. But whether by death or by the rapture, one of these days we're going to stand in the presence of God. I don't know about you. One man said this. I like the evangelist that said, "You know what? I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. I'd rather go that way than have to go the funeral home path." And even so, would you say this, senior saints? Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But one of us, one way or another, we're going to have an appointment with God. We'll either have an appointment with death or we'll have an appointment at the rapture, but sooner or later, in some way, we're going to stand before God. So number one, the first appointment we have spoken about is our appointment with death. Number two, our appointment with God. Back to our text verse. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." We have an appointment with God. Every single one of us is going to keep that appointment. "Well, I don't believe in God." Well, you may not believe in God, but you're still going to have an appointment with him. Well, preacher, I don't know if I believe that. Well, you're still going to have an appointment with him. You see, there's going to be two different times. Let me just give you this. There's two different times that God will stand a group of people before him and judge them. There's two different judgment seats that's taught in the Bible. We have the judgment of the saved and we have the judgment of the lost. The judgment of the saved is illustrated for us in a parable found in Matthew chapter 25. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 and went and digged it in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them." You get that? After a long time. Are you getting this? Are you thinking about the judgment seat? Notice the wording here. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Say, preacher, what is the judgment seat of Christ? It is a reckoning time. They will give an account of themselves to God. Account is talking about a reckoning time. It's a balancing of the books. It's a looking over of how good or how poor of a steward that we were in what God entrusted to us during our lifetime. I'm talking about, by the way, the judgment of the saved. There is no judgment that determines whether or not you go to heaven or hell. You decide that before you take your last breath. You either receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and you're going to go to heaven, you're going to stand at the judgment seat of the saved, or you're going to not receive Christ as your Savior. Procrastinate. Put it off. How many times have I heard this? Yes, I know I'm lost. Yes, I understand how to be saved. Preacher, not today. I'm just not ready. I'm just not ready. Good night. How many people have procrastinated themselves right into a devil's hell? Today's the day of salvation. Now's the acceptable time. But I'm talking about the judgment of the saved. Here we see that there's a reckoning. "And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. The Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. One man was given 5 talents. You know what, folks? Unto whom much is given, yeah, much shall be required. And the honest truth is, there's people that have been entrusted and have received more by God than other people. And you know what? We're all going to be judged according to what we were given and what we did with it. Amen. What we were given and what we did with it. That's what we're going to be judged by that day. And one of these men had 5, and he went out and he doubled that. And the Lord was pleased. And he heard what we all hope to hear one of these days if we're saved at the judgment. Say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, to hear those words from the lips of a holy God, an eternal God, to have pleased him with our lives. What a wonderful thing. But then the third man comes. Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast that is thine. Here's a man that was entrusted with a little, but you know what? He did little with it. He did nothing with it. The response of the Lord was this, thou wicked and slothful servant. And you know what? Not every Christian that stands before God is going to be congratulated on that day. Say, preacher, what are we going to answer for in that day? What is God going to judge in our lives on that day? I believe that there's some things that we will be judged upon. You won't be judged that day, whether or not you're going to heaven or hell. That was decided at Calvary. But we're going to be judged as far as our stewardship, what we did with what God gave us. Hey, every single person is given some talents by the Lord. Are you using those talents for his glory and for his honor? Are you using those talents for him? Or have you buried them somewhere and you're not using them? God, I believe, has given each and every one of us a certain amount of treasure in our life. You know what? God is an exact God. An exact God. He even goes so far as to say we will answer for every idle what? Word. So God accounts every word. Now think about this. I wouldn't be able to guess in my life. I'm sorry, I haven't kept that good of records, and even if I tried, I'm sure I wouldn't keep as good of records as God. But I can tell you this, from the time I was born till this day right here, God knows to the penny, every single penny that he has allowed to come into the hands of Jerry Ross. And folks, listen to me. We're going to give account to God for being either good stewards with what he has given us or poor stewards of what he has given us. And that ought to challenge the heart of every single Christian. Say, does God provide in that which he provides us? Are we allowed to have our needs met through that? Absolutely. But folks, remember this, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You say, well, this is my property. No, that property belongs to God. This is my car. No, that's actually God's car. He's given it to you for a time. This is my house. No, that's God's house. He's given it to you for a time. You know how many people, watch this. You say, no, preacher, I've got that deed. This is my land. Well, you need to do a deed search. Because you're not the first man that has stood on that same piece of property and said, this is mine. There's been generation after generation of generation of men that stood there and said, this belongs to me. And God in heaven laughs and said, no, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So not only is the earth mine, but all that is the earth contains belongs to me. Now, I'm going to let you have some of it, but one of these days, I'm going to hold you an account to what I have let you have. And so every one of us will stand before God concerning what we did with the treasures, our talents, our treasure. How about this? Our God-appointed time. You know what? Every single day is a gift from God. But with a gift comes responsibility. You say, well, preacher, I just wish I had the time you have. Well, we all have the same time. Okay, I didn't have, you know, yesterday, God didn't give me 28 hours and you 21 hours. Okay, we all get 24. And you know what? We've got to decide what we're going to do with it. You know, every single day, God gives you a day of life. And that's why we've got to be so careful that we do not clutter, don't allow our lives to become entangled with the things of this world. We can get our lives so cluttered and so entangled that after a while, we're not in control of anything. And we're not living life. Life is living us. And you know, we're just like on one of those hamster wheels running as fast as we can, going nowhere. And that's what the devil would like us to do. Just every day of our life, get up and go 100 miles an hour and get nowhere. But I think it's good. And boy, this will help you if you listen to me. This will help you. Every once in a while, it's the responsibility of every Christian to stop and take inventory of their time. Now, folks, think about this. God, this is the first day of the week. By the way, you started it right. We're together on the first day of the week. This is the Lord's Day. Sunday is the Lord's Day. And so we're all, if we're given this week of life, if everybody in this room is extended one more week of life, you're going to be given 168 hours this week, and I'm going to be given 168 hours this week. And you know what? One of these days, watch it, we're going to stand before God and answer for what we did this week or failed to do this week with the time that God's given us. You say, preacher, is there a right or wrong amount of time? Listen, you have to run your race and I have to run my race, and they're not the same. You have to live your life and I have to live my life, and they're not the same. But you know what? Every one of us need to take a step back and look at our life and say, is it making an impact for eternity? Is it being used on things that are really going to matter when I stand before God? I don't know if there is a greater gift that God gives us than time, than life. And every single one of us are given on this Sunday an opportunity, if God tarries and if God is merciful and if it's not our appointed day, between this time we sit here and next week when we sit here, you know what? It will be gone in 7 days. The opportunities are gone. We can't, you hear this? There's no rewind button on life. And so don't waste tomorrow worrying about yesterday. And don't waste next week worrying about last week. Look at this week as a fresh gift from God and say, you know what, I tell you what I'm going to do every day. I don't care if you didn't do this for the last 3 months. Every day this week, I'm going to get up and I'm going to crack open the Bible and I'm going to start out by giving God some time. I'm going to spend some time praying. I'm going to stop and talk to some folks along the way about the Lord Jesus Christ and share my testimony and hand out a few gospel tracts. I'm going to look for somebody in need and look for somebody that Jesus would stop and have compassion on if he was walking in my shoes and living my life. I'm going to spend this life, watch this, being a Christian. And you know what? You'll have to do that within the confines and the arena of your life, and I have to do it in the confines and the arena of my life. But wouldn't it be great if all of us scattered for a week and just did that? One of these days, we're going to answer to God. Our God-given talents, our God-provided treasures, our God-appointed time, our God-graced testimony. And I think one of the things that we'll stand in judgment on is, as saved people, is did we sow the seed of the gospel? Did we take time to try to share the gospel with other people? Are you going to stand before at the judgment seat of Christ by yourself, having come there as a saved person alone? Or are you going to be able to say, not only did I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, but God graced me the ability and helped me to share my testimony and invite people to church and influence people for heaven and share the gospel. And look at the people. Look at the people that are here that God used me to help get here. What an exciting thing. Listen, folks, only one life, so soon it is past. Only what's done for Christ will last. That's the first judgment seat. Our appointment with God, we'll keep it as Christians. But folks, there's a second judgment seat. This judgment seat happens at the end of the tribulation period. It's found in Revelation chapter 20. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The first judgment seat is the judgment seat of saved people. 7 years later, we're going to have another judgment seat. And this is where God gathers out of the earth and out of the sea and out of hell itself all of those that have ever lived on this earth who died without Jesus Christ as their Savior. Folks, you've heard me preach on this subject. We won't go into it in a whole lot of depth. But I'm going to tell you something. There's no chance. There's no mercy at that judgment seat. God showed you mercy. He showed you mercy. He showed me mercy. when he sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins. Hey, if you're here without Jesus, you've never been saved. He orchestrated your life in such a way that he got you in the pew today so that you could hear the preacher say, it's appointed unto man once to die, then comes the judgment. Remember, you got an appointment with death. Remember, you got an appointment with God. Be sure that you're saved. Be sure that you're saved. Now, folks, listen to me. One way or another, whether you're saved or whether you're lost, we're going to stand before God as a saved person. You say, preacher, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad you are too. And by the way, being saved is a great thing. But wait a minute. I don't want to stand there that day ashamed before him. Now, having misused my talents, having wasted my treasures and wasted my time and held back my testimony, listen, let's all of us this week live in such a way that people would notice that we have our eye on the judgment seat. There's one last appointment I want to bring to your attention in closing. Our appointment with death, our appointment with God, our appointment with eternity. Folks, there's not a purgatory. Look right up here. I don't care what you've been taught. I don't care what some churches teach. You will never find the teaching of purgatory in the Bible. Well, preacher, I think there is. Well, get your Bible and show me where it's at. Well, it's not in the Bible, but. Well, if it's not in the Bible, then you need to throw that belief out the window. This is the Word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. There's only two destinations taught about in the Word of God. We will one day have an appointment with eternity. We can experience forever the joys of heaven, or we can suffer forever in the torments of hell. This is not something your preacher made up. This is something that the Bible teaches. If you're saved, you have an appointment with eternity in heaven, the joys of heaven. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their gods, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Joys of heaven. You compare that chapter, Revelation chapter 1, to Luke 16. Certain rich man was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Well, he went to enjoy the joys of heaven. Then it says this, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now, folks, listen to me. Every single one of us have an appointment somewhere. We've got an appointment for eternity to enjoy the joys of heaven. Or we've got an appointment to stand at the great white throne judgment and be cast into a lake of fire forever and ever. The preacher stood up this morning to try to encourage Christians. We must be busy getting the gospel to lost people. I would wish it was so. I would wish that 100 lost people every Sunday would walk in here and hear the gospel. But you and I both know that that doesn't happen. And God knew it wouldn't happen. You know why? How do you know that? Because he said this, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There may not be about 100 lost people in this room, but every person in this auditorium, if you counted the number of people that we come in contact with in the next 7 days, we have an opportunity to give the gospel to hundreds of lost people. And so if you're here today with Jesus as your Savior, I pray that you'll live this week with an eye on the judgment seat. If you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would tell you this, as the old evangelist said, I would be derelict in my duties if I did not tell you that you are 1 second, one heartbeat away from hell. You can be saved today. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that you would use this message, dear Lord, to stir us. Please, dear God, do an eternal work of grace in the heart of someone here today. If there's anyone here without Jesus as their Savior, if there's anyone here that's not 100% sure of salvation, I pray that they would be saved today. I pray, Lord, that you would bring Holy Spirit conviction upon their life. I ask, dear God, that you would cause them to be willing to step forward during this invitation and be saved. If our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here today without Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would sure like to pray for you. I've often shared this. I know what it's like to walk in a church lost. I know what it's like to sit under Bible preaching like you've sat under, and I know what it's like to feel God working on my heart, convicting me, urging me to be saved. If during the message God's been working in your heart, you say, "Preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure what would happen to me. I fear what might happen to me." When you begin to preach on heaven, it sounded glorious. But when you begin to mention hell, great conviction came upon my heart. If you're here this morning and you're not 100% sure that you're saved, you're not 100% sure that you're saved, we have two men that are standing at the front here. When we have the invitation in just a minute, we'd ask you to leave your pew, go to the nearest aisle, come right up here. They'll get somebody to take a Bible and show you how to be saved. But before we do that, I'd like to pray for you. I won't call your name. I won't embarrass you. I won't come get you. We don't do that here. But I would like to pray for you. You say, "Preacher, if I was to die right now, I'm not sure that I'm saved." But I will tell you this. God is working in my heart right now. "Preacher, please pray that I'll make the right decision. I'm not saved. Please pray for me." Would you raise your hand? "I'm not saved, preacher. Would you pray for me? I'm not saved. Please pray for me that God is working in my heart. Is there anybody here? I'm not saved. But God is working in my heart. Please pray for me. Thank you." Heavenly Father, I pray, dear Lord, that you continue to do your work of grace in our midst. Help us as Christians to be stirred. May we live our lives this week, dear God, with one eye on the judgment seat. We pray.